Well, you know, Whitman was the first major world poet, aside from Poe, who had tremendous penetration around the world, incidentally. But he was the one that introduced a whole new language of open form, vernacular talk, exuberance, and self-empowerment, very democratically, into the literatures of all the countries in the world. From up to China, 1919, there were a couple of poets, Guo Moro and Ai Ching, who translated Whitman for the first time. And it had a tremendously energizing effect on poetry all over the world, even for the surrealists and these futurists in Russia, 1907, 1910. And in America, he's like a mountain too vast to be seen, which is what I've said a number of times, and that we take him for granted. But if any kid at the age of 15, 16 sits down and reads through all of Whitman in a couple weeks, beginning to end, it'd be like taking acid. It just opens up the head and, you know, gives a breath of fresh air into the heart, especially in this recognition of oneself as open and as friendly and as tolerant as Whitman himself. Secrets that one kept to oneself about eros or cowardice or one's own idiocy are all revealed in Whitman, and in a way that makes them into transparent humor and generosity and exuberance and friendliness. So it leads people to become friendly to themselves and friendly to others. It's all sort of energizing and uplifting in a very interesting way. And it's only in the last 20 years that Whitman has finally begun to find his place in America as a kind of hero. At first there was the literary idea, oh, he didn't write in rhymes and verses and stanzas like Longfellow, so he couldn't be a superior writer. And if obviously an awkward, crude, provincial, jerk-off individual that didn't know what he was doing literarily. And yet the style of open form became an international style, whereas the more limited Longfellow style was really just limited to the 19th century, basically. Sort of imitations of classical meters from Greek and Latin, but sort of like putting American literature into a kind of a corset or a straitjacket. So Whitman got out of that straitjacket mentally and physically in the first line and inspired a whole new wave of poets, including Ezra Pound, who felt he was more sophisticated, but really finally had to come around and say, I make a pact with Walt Whitman. I have been pig-headed long enough. And of course, that goes into William Carlos Williams, who began experimenting with living, vernacular, idiomatic Americanese. And that influenced everybody, including me and Robert Creeley and Kerouac and just the whole world of poetry, even Robert Lowell, the academic poet champ, finally in the 50s, opened up his verse form so he could speak in Americanese and use the cadences that you use when you're talking. And use the cadences that you use when you were talking.
Let's talk about the process by which you write poetry.
Mm-hmm.
You date and also put the time when ostensibly you finish the poem. And I am looking at these the times in the book, and it's 2:30 in the morning, 3:30 in the morning, 6:00 in the morning. Is that when your best work is done?
Well, I think you'll find many of those are crucially dated with time, not all, when they're dreams, because it's part of the apparatus or part of the situation that, I woke up at 2:30 in the morning and this visionary event happened and I took it down then. Just to give an indication of the circumstance, the context of the poem, particularly in this book, The Long Dream About Ken Kesey and the Grateful Dead. It's called I Went to the Movie of Life, much too long to read. But woke up in the morning and I think I dated exactly where it was, and where I was, you know, sometimes even the place. Generally it's dreams that are given with the hour, 6 a.m. That's why it's 6 a.m. or 2:30 in the morning.
There was also...
Or after reading, you know, casually in bed after reading, then that would be maybe 2 in the morning.
I pictured myself working till 5 o'clock in the morning preparing for this interview, thinking you stay up all night, and that's when you have a chance to be alone and when the noise begins to die down, although in New York that might be never.
Never, no. Actually, I've got a poem about that, if you're interested.
Sure.
What about the New York... I think it's called "A Thief." A thief stole this poem.
Yes, yes. In fact, that was one I had marked for you to read.
That's on page 74. It's sort of a chick poem because it sounds like I'm insulting every race in the imaginable.